Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 442, Achieving Simple. And I've just very, very recently came up with that title. I wasn't really sure of it, but I had a moment post the dentist. Yep, I'll tell you the whole story. And the line, it's pretty simple, just popped into my head in this moment. And I'm talking to my good friend, Scott, and he said, you know what? If we get out of our way, which is really hard to do, it is actually quite simple. We had this really cool, I mean, we have a bunch of chats, but we had this moment where he just completely saw what I saw, you know, understood what I was talking about. And been there, you know, I have. On one hand, I feel like, wow, there's not that much going on because I just feel like I'm thinking a lot. But then on the other hand, I'm like, wow, I'm doing this. I'm working on this. Here's a new thought. Here's a new challenge just came in. So, you know, I like where it is as far as like not having the pressure to come up with something every Thursday. You know, just that weight of, okay, you got to say something. You got to say something. You got to have something to say. Versus just kind of making little notes and going, oh, cool. And then I had a client, a friend of mine, send me an article, which I enjoyed. I share that. And then I, now a official podcast listener of others, share a podcast. I listened to it and loved it so much. I went back, listened to it again, took some notes, and share some of those notes with you on this episode. So the person on that podcast has a line where she says, you know, she goes, I'm not done learning. I'll be learning forever. And along, again, her path kind of resonated with me going, yep, I went through that. And then you hit this level and you kind of feel good. Like there's this little celebration, little victory, but not that you're done, not that you know it all, not that you've, you know, completely healed. So really, really enjoyed it. And I'll actually tell you what it is in the intro here, but the On Purpose podcast with Jay Shetty had Gabrielle Bernstein on it, and that was the podcast that I listened to and re-listened to and took notes and will share that. And I share something I never share. I share on today's episode, but for a reason. And other than that, I am deeply, deeply in the Pro-U depths. It's just different. It's just a different time right now because to me it's quieter and it seems like I'm slowing time down a bit. And again, just that is a complete different journey than I've ever experienced in my life. So it's not that, yeah, this is familiar and I'm, you know, but there's a level of challenge that exists consistently that I'm comfortable with. And that is something I'm pretty stoked about and enjoy sharing. So if you have any questions, comments, want to share anything, please holla proupodcast@gmail.com. And thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and enjoy. Hello, beautiful people. It is Sir Tommy Lama. And we are on episode 442, and I'm going to begin it with an article that I was sent to from a client of mine. Thank you, Dan. And it is entitled, How I Learned to Want Less by Joe Keita on The Arrow. Okay. I've been teaching memoir writing to seniors for more than 20 years, and whenever someone gets stuck or insists they have nothing to write about, I give them a prompt. What has been your greatest joy in life? In the two decades I've been asking that question, no one has ever mentioned their 1970 Corvette or their beach house. Instead, they confess, it's watching my son run to me when he sees me. or sitting outdoors on a summer afternoon with my dog by my side. That resonated with me, but so did the title, How I Learned to Want Less. So I was kind of excited to read it. And then when it said, Summer Afternoon with My Dog, I'm like, okay, I'm tracking. We're unhappier than ever, according to a 2021 study from Boston University. 32.8% of us are depressed, or one in every three American adults. That's pretty crazy. One in three people are depressed. Psychologists and philosophers tell us this shouldn't surprise us. After all, we're lonelier and more isolated than ever. The only way to achieve true life satisfaction and lasting happiness, they say, is through connection with friends, family, community, church, and charity. But you know what? In the last few years, many of my friends and neighbors have revealed themselves as radicals with views so wacky, I send them immediately to voicemail. Family, meanwhile, remains a minefield. I'm long past finding any solace in church, blame 12 years of Catholic schooling. And as far as volunteering, the last thing I want to be doing in my twilight years is delivering Meals on Wheels. The last few years have changed my view of connection. I have tasted aloneness, and it wasn't so bad. It reminded me of non-fat yogurt. This is not as grumpy as it sounds. I am still quite social. It's just that these years of politics and the pandemic have taught me that, yes, connection is important for happiness. But lately, it's myself I've been connecting to. Dun, 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 dum. Nowadays, I'm finding joy in an iced pint of frothy IPA sipped on my deck at the end of a day in which I've used my body. I'm finding joy on an early morning bike ride along the rural farm roads where I live in Pennsylvania. I'm finding joy on an early morning. I'm finding joy in a perfect slice of meatloaf with garlic mashed potatoes at this country restaurant down the street. I'm finding joy watching the Phillies on TV in the middle of the afternoon when I should be doing something productive. I've discovered there are hundreds of these tiny, selfish moments in a day, an unlimited bounty, greater than any online inventory. And these moments don't all have to be so angelic. Eating a bacon cheeseburger with fries after a clean colonoscopy is a relishable moment. So is not letting the kid in the blacked-out lowrider with the loudmouth muffler cut you off in front of traffic. It's not easy to recognize these moments of self-connection. Most of us are so busy, we rush right through them. But once you learn to recognize and nourish them, these moments become little vacations in your day with your best friend. And over time, as you perfect immersing yourself in them and guiltlessly enjoying them, I promise they will far surpass the fleeting delight of finding yet another Amazon package on your porch. Indeed, the fact that you have reached the end of this little article proves you're capable. You've just pushed back the relentlessness of life and had a moment. Now all you have to do is digest that and go in search of the next. Yeah, see, it's just, you know, I hadn't really thought, you know, overall about the pandemic and, you know, not that it's over, but, you know, when it first happened and how it changed everybody, you know, it's like everybody was forced to slow down, stop, pause, and you were forced to have, you know, quiet time. And what do we do now? We can't distract ourselves. We can't do this. We can't do that. So to me, it was just a very interesting look at, again, someone else going, yeah, but I'm better because of that. And I found alone's not so bad. And putting all that time and energy into all these other things, you know, what did it really give me? I mean, I'm finding out about me. I'm learning about me. I'm enjoying me. And therefore, it kind of changes, you know, the whole intention of your life. You start investing more and more in things that obviously, you know, you can't control, but that serve you. So now you got this whole connection with kind of input and output. I'm going to do for me. I'm going to receive for me. I like this. I'm going to keep doing repeat. And, you know, then that gets better. And you're like, okay, this is a whole thing now. And I said this to Scott the other day. It's like what I always say to a client, you know, if anyone's ever said, okay, I want to get really big, but I want to stay lean. It's, you know, like a guy going, yeah, I want to build muscle. You know, I want to get really, you know, strong. I want to build some size, but I want to be lean. It's like, what? It just doesn't work like that. You know, like to bulk up and build, it's like, you know, you got to kind of take on a lot of calories and you lift a certain way. You're not trying to burn calories. You're trying to gain calories. So in that process of gaining, if you're going, yeah, I want to be super lean, it's going to be completely counterproductive. Now, you can go from, you know, one to the other, and, you know, there's a bunch of different, you know, ways to pursue them. But if you said, I want to do both today, you cannot. So if you want to make a bunch of money and be busy all the time, you are not going to be able to have personal growth, I believe, at any sort of real level, because it's hard and slow when that's all you're doing is focused on personal growth. So if you're, you know, dabbling in it a couple minutes every once in a while when you're not, you know, completely dead or tired, you know, you get out what you put in. So I'm into sharing today. Went from an article, and now I'm going to share. I took some notes because I wanted to share it, but it's the podcast I started listening to called On Purpose with Jay Shetty, and he had a gal on there called Gabrielle or Gabby Bernstein. And I guess, you know, I didn't know of her before, but pretty well known, and she had just come out with her 9th book and, you know, pretty popular, motivational kind of person. And I enjoyed, like, what she said and what she talked about and what they got into. And there were just some words and some things that they said when I listened to it the first time. And I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to that again and just take some notes and, you know, and share it on the podcast. Because it was just really cool. And that was kind of the thing. 2 months ago, I hadn't listened to a podcast really in my life. And started listening to Daily Stoic. And then I listened to On Purpose with Jay Shetty. Scott, he had sent me one. And I'm like, oh, I used to follow this dude on Instagram. So I started following him, and then he had Gabby on. And then I started following her podcast. I think I've only listened to, like, one of hers since. And then there was another one. So it was just kind of cool, like, you know, in a place where you're embracing what you find as if it's supposed to be what you're finding. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'm supposed to listen to this. Okay, I'm supposed to do that. Okay. And I'm just kind of following along, and these things are falling onto my path for me to learn from. So the one thing was kind of crazy. I don't know if I even wrote this down, but her and Jay had been friends for like 6 years. And, you know, she was saying, well, I came in, it was so good to see you because I'm just, you know, present. And, you know, she's just in such a great place right now. And she just came out with her 9th book. But part of it, this book, was this real, like, opening up and sharing all these things that she was going through that no one really knew. And her publishers in the past were like, you know, she'd put in a book and like, okay, it's great. And they just, you know, send it off to publishing. And when she sent this book in, it was, you know, all this talking about addiction and all these things that she was struggling through. Now, she had, I don't know, like 6 books out. And she was in front of people and she was talking and, you know, doing motivational, you know, speaking engagements and selling books and being like this leading woman. And, you know, at the time she was like, well, I'm doing it, I can do it, whatever. But she says, looking back, she goes, I was in no shape or form to be doing what I was doing. So admitting that, you know, that's how she's getting to that next level. And she's not like, you know, I don't know, it was just a very honest thing. And like when her publishers were like, hey, you know, kind of pump the brakes, she's like, no, this is where I am, this is how I grew, this is what I got to do, I got to face this trauma. And then she goes on to mention that she was molested as a child, and it was kind of buried, and that came out, and that's what caused the, you know, the addiction and kind of these other problems in her life. But Jay, one of the first questions he asked her was like, you know, what is happiness? And she said, well, my answer is definitely different than it was 6 years ago. And that's what kind of triggered me. Is like, I was, you know, talking with Scott a bunch about like the word just redefine, like redefine what success is, redefine what happy is, you know, redefine, you know, your goals. Because as you, you know, if you're on the personal growth path, you're going to change. And she said, happy is to be fully present with what's going on now. And she said, what trauma does, trauma is the inability to be present, the inability to experience the richness of life moment to moment. And I was just going kind of nutso because that's kind of what was happening with me. I said my days were blending. I wasn't really differentiating between, you know, Tuesday and Sunday, kind of doing the same things every day. But there would be have this moment, and I would just get into it, and all of a sudden I was just, you know, lost track of time, and I was doing this thing, and it wasn't planned. I hadn't thought about it, and nothing else mattered, and nothing, and I left, and I was like, that was an amazing, and it wasn't that big of a story to anybody. But I was just like, you know, what did I just experience? And it was just, you know, funny. It's got such a big influence in my life, but he's just like, dude, you're having these moments of just real presence. You know, you're being present in those moments. And then, you know, and here's Jay talking to Gabby, and he's like, you know, experience the richness of life moment to moment. That's what's being present. And when you're suffering from trauma, haven't healed from trauma, and there's buried trauma, it's now like this wall, and you have this inability to be fully present. And I was just like, again, I kind of said that. I've experienced now presence, you know, I would say the last 2-3 years, and not before that at all. And I think, you know, my time of reflection, I would think back, and I'm like, I wasn't present because there was just noise and just a bunch of stuff, you know. And I would go through the day and I would be successful at things and, you know, have great moments and have fun and, you know, all these, you know, as well as all the bad. But I mean, you know, it, and then she admitted that, you know, the same thing, because you still function, you can still get through. But now, you know, as you progress, you know that you weren't fully healed. But when you get to that place where you're present, and then they brought up the awe effect. And it's typically, you know, Jay said that he had, when you're outside in nature, like let's say at the Grand Canyon, there's this moment of feeling incredibly tiny, but yet connected to this thing that's way bigger than you. And that's that, oh, and I had a friend that used to say, you know, S-I-A, standing in awe. Like when you get to Yosemite or, you know, waterfall, and you just sit there and be like, wow, you know, this is. And it was like, well, you can kind of have those same reactions by taking it all in. And what do you mean by that? Well, in just a regular moment, if in that moment, because I remember like, wow, I was walking Zen and I was just like, this is great. And I'm like, well, it was just, I was present. I was focused on him, his little trot, his little bounce, his, you know, looking back and smiling, how well he listened, our connection. It was a beautiful day. I had nothing else in my head. And I was like, this is the greatest moment ever. It's like, well, what do you mean? You're just out walking your dog. You do it 3-4 times a day. And that's the point. You either get it or you don't. But these moments, you know, like when they said, you know, being able to experience life. You know, why can't you just love walking your dog? Like, why can't you just be outside going, man, this is great. I do. And I'm walking around going, I'm healthy. He's healthy. You know, the weather's great. You know, bills are paid. I got food. I got clothing. I got shelter. I got water. You know, I'm good. And you can just take that all in. Now, can I maintain that 24/7? No. But like this, you know, Gabby kept saying it was the greatest thing is, you know, it's a slow climb. So along the way, you celebrate the victories. And that was like, oh, I'm going to do this, you know, speaking engagement. I'm going to write this book. This is, I feel good. I learned this thing. Hey, I'm going to share it. There's no bad there. And then, you know, a little bit later, you're like, wow, I'm still on that personal growth path. And, you know, I've learned this, and I decided that, and I, you know, now I'm going to allow this and not, you know, you just keep evolving and you keep changing. So again, you know, Wayne Dyer used to say, you know, when you change, the things you look at change. And it was like totally my experience. And that's what, you know, kind of Gabby was talking about. And then she said, because you're up leveling your well-being. And I just love that, like up level. And I was like, yeah, I've up-leveled. I definitely have, but up-leveled my well-being. Like, I loved everything about that. Just like, you know, because it's not, you know, fitness. I don't use that word a lot. I just started, you know, talking about well-being, you know, mental health, you know, versus anything else as far as the wording. So up-level my well-being. I mean, to me, that would be the definition of personal growth right there. And this is where it got kind of cool. And I actually shared this with a client. But we run away from the trauma. So whatever our trauma was, we want to avoid that. And we start developing these protector parts. So for example, my protector part became my anger. Now, the protector part is that thing that's going to kind of keep you from experiencing that type of pain again. Like, no one's going to treat me like my father did. No one's going to raise their voice, yell at me, make me feel small, bully me. No one's going to do that. No one's going to pick on me. No one's going to do that. And that just became my protector. Yay, I love that. Because that's how I got here. But here's the kicker. The protector part is actually deepening the wound. And I was like, that's the crazy thing, because it's this thing that, you know, the part of you that developed that was a good thing. So you're like, yay. But you're like, yeah, but now that same exact thing, that same exact part of me is not allowing me to heal, is not allowing me to fully move forward. And that's kind of what I've kind of been experiencing. I feel the best I've ever felt. Every client knows it. Every person I've been around, they can just tell that I'm a different dude. I walk the earth differently than I did for 50 years. I know it. I don't care if anyone believes me. Am I fully healed? No. Am I done growing? No. Have I learned all I need to learn about me? No. And that's kind of the crazy thing. Like, you know, 57. And going, oh, okay, I'm getting it, but I got a long way to go. And not that there's a bad thing, but it is going to take time. You know, so the quicker you can kind of figure out this stuff and apply it and then build on it, the more peace and contentment you're going to have for a longer period of time. Because again, if I die tomorrow, I'm going to be cool. Again, I feel this, not, I don't know. I get bad news going, hey, this is what's going on. Or I don't, and maybe I die in an accident. I don't have time to think about it. But where I am looking at my life, I'm very thankful for the last 2.5 years of my life to experience what I've experienced and the time I've spent with Zen and how I walk the earth. Like, I'm crazy thankful that I got that. And if it lasts for 6 more months, you know, a year, 5 years, 10, yay. But I'm crazy, crazy thankful of that and not bummed that it took so long. But it does take a long time. And you can't do a bunch of, you can't multitask, or I shouldn't say you can't, but it would be very difficult to multitask. And one of those to be personal growth. So like you're kind of dabbling it with all these other things. Is, you know, it's going to take a lot. Like that Gabby, when she talked, and I would tell you to definitely listen to it, but she's like, all my work, all my spiritual work, all this and that led to this thing. And then from there, I did it, and she was like, I'm not done. I'm still learning. I got a lot. It sounded just like I do. you know, about that. No, I've been working a long time to get here, but I've just realized that there's so much more that I can work on and that I want to work on, because I want to grow and I want to continue to, you know, find that higher self. And then she said the exile parts. And that's that where you just kind of bury that thing and you put that, you know, kind of away. And it was just pretty deep and pretty crazy. And they said disassociate from the memories. So like, you know, you put it in a box and you, that bad moment, bad experience, that trauma, you put into a box and then you put the box away. And you're like, okay, good. So you disassociate. But it shows up in your nervous system. So it comes out as far as like that physical kind of manifestation. And she said, you know, physical conditions are psychosomatic. And I forgot what she went into, but she had this condition and it was like, you know, full on proactive doing all that stuff. And then you fast forward and she, you know, kind of got through this trauma and personally grew and, oh, that's gone. And when she was talking about that, I was like, okay, at one moment, two things that I've been doing my entire life stopped: chewing my fingernails and getting that, the herpes spot on my face, just stopped. What time? I mean, when in my life? 51. Wow, what else happened at 51? Stop talking to my family. And I'm like, well, there you go. And I just, you know, it was just, again, I love, and again, it's cool now, like I'm on that path where I'm learning. And so I'm on that path where I love, you know, listening to these other stories that kind of reaffirm and, you know, resonate with me and, you know, just get that confirmation, you know, that, hey, these are, you know, big time educated, you know, public speaking author type people talking about the things that I'm going through and I'm experiencing. So that's a big hug for me. And, you know, it was just cool. It was just cool to kind of hear that. But I just really would suggest to listen to that that podcast episode. So I am talking about... I went to the dentist again. And so highly, highly aware of my experience. Saw it on my phone, came up, and right away I was like, I just could tell there wasn't that. I mean, right away, as I would get a reminder or whatever it was, it would be like that, okay, I could just feel that little tension or that little increase in my heart rate. And I was like, okay, you know, in 6 days, okay, 5 days, 4 days, I mean, counting it down, thinking about it, the night before, the morning of, just all of that anguish and stress and anxiety and worry and doubt and just all of that. And now it's been, I think this is probably like my third or fourth visit, and it was nothing. And I was just like sitting there going like, you know, normally there's this noise and there's not a noise. Normally there's this feeling and there's not a feeling. And I just stayed there. And it was day five, day four, day three. And I'm like, I just don't care. And I had to move one client, and then the day before another client moved. So I had nobody before my 9:30 appointment. Got up, did the morning, you know, did the Zen thing. And I never, ever, ever leave Zen now. It's only for the dentist. Like, it's the only reason I leave him. And just, looked at the clock and said goodbye to Zen, got in the car. And it was like, I got there and I walked in and there was nobody there, which is, I was kind of weird. You know, because I've been there, you know, early in the morning, 9:30, and there'd be like four or five people in the waiting room. There's no one in the waiting room. And the other dental people aren't there, just the specialist that sees me and I think like one or two assistants. And I just sat down, and the girl walks out, and she's like, oh, hey, Tom, we'll be with you in a bit. I'm like, okay. A couple minutes later, I walk in, and I sit down, and And I shared before on the podcast about, it was probably two times ago, where I went in, they took my blood pressure, and they're going to give me Novocaine, which got ephedrine in it, so you can't have high blood pressure. And it was like 140 over 90 something or whatever. And I told the assistant, I said, oh, I said, I don't know if you're aware, but it's kind of like PTSD. I go, when I come here, I go, I actually feel really good. And I was aware of it. Like, I feel calm. And it's like, okay, I normally don't feel like this. I said, but if, you know, my blood pressure's up, I go, I understand it. It's been, you know, like fighting in a war for me, you know, thinking about coming to an experienced dentist the last, you know, 7-8 years. So I get it. We chatted for a minute. And he's like, well, let me check it again. Boom. Totally went down. And I can't really remember if it was the last time I went in and it was down or whatever. I couldn't remember. But this time I was like, okay, I'm getting my blood pressure. And I hadn't even been there that long. So I really wasn't like taking inventory. I wasn't working on anything. I wasn't getting ready. I just was chilling. And I got up and I was like, oh, okay, let me see where this is at. Because I'm like, you know, if it could be high and I won't care because I understand it. And she just takes it off, and she's like, okay, thanks. And I go, what was it? And she goes, you know, 120 over 80. And I'm like, pfft. And that's when it all kind of started. So then the dentist comes in. This is a specialist now I've seen for a long time, and I really like her. And, you know, she's the daughter of the dentist that normally sees me, but I just think, I don't know much about her. Obviously, I haven't talked to her that much, but I've, you know, shared some things with her, and I've thanked her. So, you know, I've been pretty vulnerable in that dentist office, and, you know, just maybe over time. But I just really like, appreciate, and respect her. So, comes in and starts going, and I was just, like, sitting there, and it was like if someone was with their knuckle just kind of pushing on your shoulder. And just kept kind of doing it. And you're sitting next to him. And he's kind of pushing on your shoulder. So you're aware of it. And it wasn't really bugging you. And it, you know, definitely wasn't painful or anything. I was like, that's what kind of dentist was. Like, I was just sitting there and, you know, eyes were closed. And she's like, you okay? And I go, yep. And she's like, okay, well, let me know if this bothers you. And I'm like, all right. And, you know, I was just going through. And it was like this side. And then, you know, it's kind of like this deep cleaning. And you know, went to the other side, and I went to the bottom, and going through it, and they got done, and she's like, okay, thanks a lot, and I go, all right, and I go walking out, and it was 10 to 10, like, the entire time I was in the dentist's office, it was 20 minutes, and I'm like, this used to be hell. I remember waiting for like 30 minutes before I was seen and stressing out, because I'm like, I got 30 minutes to be in the dentist office in total. Like, that's how much I could pretty much deal with it. So if I'm in the waiting room for 30 or 40, and then I got to go sit down, and then I got to go work on it, and it always took longer because I need a break. I need to stand up. I got, you know, I'm getting hot. I need to take my sweatshirt off. You know, I can't breathe. You know, whatever the thing was, it just seemed like it was so long. And now I'm in my car, and it's after my, you know, like third appointment now that's gone well. And during the appointment, it was at one moment I was kind of like, I thought of Zen. And I'm like, I get to go home and see Zen. It's just like this little moment, this little flash. And, you know, my eyes are closed and my mouth, you know, wide open. So, you know, it's not like anyone could see, but I just kind of felt myself smile like, I'm going to go home to Zen. So now I'm into the car and I'm thinking, it's laughable what the dentist is now compared to what it used to be. And then the vision of, and I'm driving home, and there's like no traffic, so like in 15 minutes, maybe 20, I'll be home. And I go, oh, I'm going to see Zen. So like in total, like I was gone like maybe an hour and a half, and that was it. And I feel not a visual smile, but just this content, peaceful, kind of like, okay. And then it was just this, like, thing that came up in my head. It was like, isn't it simple? And I shared that same exact moment with Scott when I trained him the next day. I said, I just like got in my car and I go, okay. And he said, you know, now the dentist is just, you know, it is what it is. And I said, exactly. I said, but with the knowledge of what it was, it's not just what it is. It's like this thing going, that used to be this dragon, and now it's nothing. And this is just like, oh, I got to go again. Okay, hey, now I'm going to see Zen. And I'm like that was it? There's no tripping out stress, fear, anxiety with the dentist. And then all that's in your head is you're going to go see Zen now. Like, yeah, he's waiting for me at home. I'm never away from him anymore. So I'm thinking about that. And it was so simplistic. And then Scotty kind of shared a similar story and kind of said, you know, it's the same thing that he thought. It was like, it's simple. You know, you get out of the way. You and your stuff. If you can identify it, be aware of it, not judge it, not critique it. But just start getting yourself out of your way. You critique or judge yourself, boom, you're slowing your growth down. You just are. You're hard on yourself in any way, shape, or form. You're hurting yourself. You're not serving yourself. Well, how do I know that? Because I did it forever. And I'm still not perfect at it. Still do it. But it's that awareness now. If I'm going, oh, you had a day where you didn't do anything. Blah, blah, I'm like, stop. Yeah, I didn't have a day. I had a day where I didn't do anything because I didn't want to do anything. And if that's what I wanted to do, then I'm fine with that because it's not 6 days a week. I know what I'm doing now. I know my growth. There's concrete data I have put in hours, and I feel better. That's done, and it's not going to stop. So I don't have to keep my foot on the gas and keep that critique and that judgment and that, hey, keep doing more. Hey, keep working harder. Hey, you're not good at that. Does not serve me. Does not serve you. Just like it was a sense of, I think this will be the title, it was just achieving simple. Like it can be. And then again, it's simple for me because I don't have any bad. To me, like, I'm so thankful, like, how healthy Zen is. I'm healthy. Like, I'm not hurting for money. My bills are paid. Like, I'm like, wow, how did I get all of that? And, man, if I can keep that, I'm just going to remain consistently thankful. And, again, to me, that's kind of simple. Not trying to accomplish a lot. I'm not trying to get a lot. I'm not trying to do a lot. I'm just working on me. And again, there are times when that gets tough. And that can be, you know, it can be hard. But I'm always serving. You know, it's always serving me. I'm always benefiting from that work. So if it's a rough day and all I did was not judge myself, I'm like, way to go, Tom. You didn't judge yourself. You just kind of was like, cool with that. Wow, you've never been able to do that. Now I'm patting myself on the back because I'm not critiquing myself for having a bad day. Yeah, you're going to have bad days. I guarantee you got more bad days coming. All right, just be cool with them. Okay, now you're in power. Now you're in control, and especially in control of that space between your ears, which is the whole key. So one thing I tried to accept, and I wrote this little note down, I think one of the hardest things, and it is for me, is to be bored. Like there'll be that moment where I'm tired, I kind of feel drained, so I don't want to read, I don't want to write, and then I'm like, I'm done with TV, I'm not gonna fall asleep. I don't really want, like, and there's like this little bit of irritation, and I just kind of became aware of that. And again, I wasn't talking about it, and I wasn't sharing it, but I was like, I think it's one of the hardest things, because again, when you watch that show Alone, the people that were busy, they were fine. The people that sat there with their thoughts were going nuts, and I'm like, well, If you wanted to work on what was hard, it's kind of easy to figure out what that is. And I'm like, even like I thought of a couple people that are, you know, I think of that are doing well, I respect, and I'm like, but I bet they're never bored. Like they keep themselves busy. And again, that's not bad. But just for me, I'm like, I don't want to be doing a lot of stuff right now because there's like not a lot of stuff I want to do. So I'm not that busy, so I have more time. And dealing with that has been kind of rewarding. So it was that next level to me going, okay, well, what's boredom? And I'm like, okay, well, like you've said in the past, number one, it means there's nothing bad. And I'm like, okay, so sit there. There's nothing bad. You know, you're here and you're what? What is it? You know, really, like, what is your feeling? What is boredom? What? And kind of being, okay, cool, I'm going to sit in boredom. Not going to feel good, not going to like it, not going to know what to do, not going to know how long it's going to last, but I'm just going to be aware of it and sit in it and not judge it. And I'm like, I've never done that before. I've never thought that before in my life. And it's like, hey, be bored and then work at it and embrace it. And no, you're being lazy. You should be doing something, right? There's the voice. I'm like, that's what makes it so hard. You can always like, why would I want to be bored? Why would I want to do anything? It's horrible to sit there. I'm like, well, that's my point. So we never do it. And there's the brain. Don't be uncomfortable. Whoa, this is bad. Run away. It's like, well, you know. Really, really cold is bad, but it's not pain. It's a sensation. And what if you became familiar and embracing of that sensation? Where you used to think it was pain. And you dreaded it. And you were afraid of it. Just like the dentist. So now you're going through kind of checking these boxes going, oh, I can change how I feel about that thing. I can change how I look at it. And it's like, well, I'll change how I look at bored. All right, I'm bored. Great. This is one of the hardest things to be in. Way to go. How are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? You know, and automatically, not automatically, but again, in my life, things are happening way faster than they ever did before. But, you know, the bored thing was, you know, like I said, just very last week. And I was like, okay, what's that? What's that like? Now what? And then at the end of the day, I was like, and what now? You were bored today, and here you are, and you're fine. And, I mean, to me, that was like a super cool thing. And so again, like Gabby was talking, it just seems like there's more and more on this path, and it just keeps leading you like breadcrumbs down that path of personal growth to what you need, you know, like specifically what you need, like, oh, here it is, boom. So the bummers, I don't like talking about bummers. I don't like talking about bad things at all. And I never really do, and I don't get political, but if someone said when I was a young child, you know, and said, you know, 2022, I'm like, wow, in the future, it just sounds futuristic. What's it like? Like, well, you can tell a woman what to do with her body, but you can't tell a guy he can't have a gun. Like, I don't know the answers, but there's just something completely wrong with that. I wrote this down last week, so I'm sure it's changed, but there's 309 mass shootings in 2022, and it's July. And if you look at a chart where it lists the world and mass shootings, you look at number one, United States, and you see this, you know, 10-inch long line, and then number two is less than like half an inch, and it goes smaller, smaller, smaller. Like there's no one even close. So it's apparent to some people and probably everyone else around the world that we're doing something wrong. And then you look at the majority, and the majority of people want something done. So I'm like, well, what's happening then? I'm like, see, now there's the problem. There's a minority, you know, group of people that are kind of like running the country. So again, that's why I don't even like talking about it. I don't like looking at it. I don't like, you know, I try to avoid the news. But you know, you just see the, oh, mass shooting, mass shooting, mass shooting, mass shooting, and it's just redundant. And again, I don't know the answers about abortion, but it's just like they talk about, you know, upholding the Constitution. At the time that Constitution was written, women weren't even like full-blown people, citizens. You know, they were like second-hand. And one of my favorite lines of Joe Rogan, he goes, and the Constitution was written from with a feather. Like, again, you know, talked about the banner under the heaven, or heaven, what was it, that whole Mormon story. It's like, again, one dude starts it, says it, and starts kind of making money and having power, and then he abuses that power and abuses women. And, you know, then you look at that whole thing, and women aren't equals at all. You know, one dude, 78 wives. Like, what? Like, and then it's like, oh, yeah, we're just going to keep doing that because, well, that guy did it, so, yeah, we don't want to change anything. We're just going to. So a lot of that stuff is bothering people, like, at a high level. And that's not even all the other problems, because the climate thing literally kills me. Like, that's, like, the worst thing for me. Because it's like, okay, we need to do something, and then a group of, again, minority go, yeah, we're not going to do that. I'm like, who are, like, what in the world? Like, if you do not think there's a problem with the climate, I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, everywhere it's getting hotter. You know, the Arctic is melting. You know, there's less and less water. And this killed me. I listened to a podcast with Jay. He had water.org on, which is actually Matt Damon, and I forgot his partner, which is kind of like the brain. This dude was doing this stuff for a long time, and then they met and they joined up, and they've been doing it a long time. But there are, you know, you're sitting there like me right now going, I can get water right now. I got water in the fridge, bottled water. You know, I'm good. I go to the store right now, get more water. I mean, I don't even think about water. So it's not really that bad yet. There's no climate problem. Well, there are over 770 million people without water every day that wake up going, I don't have water. I have to go get water. How long will it take me? Will I have it? So what's happening is it's kind of like the duty of women to get water. So now, since they can't just get it quick, it takes them like 3-4 hours a day, they always can't go to school. Or they can't, you know, that's 3 or 4 hours a day that they don't get to do what they normally do. So, like, that's having this huge impact. But I was like, I mean, that's how bad it is right now. And everyone just, No, there's no problem with the climate. It's like there's forest fires year round. It's not the fire season. It's just, it is fire season year round. And then it was just 4th of July, which I think is like one of the dumbest holidays. I don't do holidays anymore, but one of the dumbest holidays in the world. They're dangerous and they're loud. Like, more dogs run away that night than any other day of the year. And then it's like, okay, it's fireworks are basically illegal most places because the potential to cause fires, and you just got people everywhere shooting off fireworks illegally. And I'm like, I just, you know, it wasn't that bad. I mean, Hollywood, for whatever reason, over the years, just gotten better and better and better. And, you know, by the time it was kind of going off, Zen was pretty much asleep, wasn't even really waking up. And I closed the windows from, like, you know, 10 to midnight, you know, just to dampen any noise, but there wasn't, like, that many, you know, close. Because I remember, like, I don't know when it was, 3-4 years ago. It was, like, literally, you know, 3-4 days before up to that night, it was just like a war zone. Like, it felt like they were just going off in the backyard or just right behind my building. So, but again, you're just looking at that, and you're like, why? Like, I guess someplace they did this thing where they, I actually saw it on a TV show, America's Got Talent or whatever, where they had these drones fly and kind of like that simulation. They were, you know, 300 and they were all lit up and flying at night. And so it's kind of like this light spectacular kind of thing. It's like no noise. You know, no fire danger, you know, nothing bad at all. I'm like, just do that. Just, you know, go make that transition to where it's a electric kind of a thing. So no dogs are running away and there's no problems with forest fires. So what do I, why did I allow myself to share yucky stuff, which I don't like thinking about. I definitely don't like talking about. And I don't think I rarely ever do talk about that stuff that much, especially politics. But the greatest line I've ever heard as far as that is, my single best contribution to making the world a better place is to make me the best me. And I've said, you know, kind of a similar version of that to clients, going, well, you know, your spouse, your kids, your parents, your whoever, you know, do you love them a little? Love them a lot. Love them a lot. Great. What version of you do they deserve? They deserve the best version of you, don't they, if you love them? So it's like when you make you the better you, those people closest to you, they really benefit. Like they're the ones that win. So, same point. If you work on you and you become a better person, and just if everyone in the world did that, what would happen? And, you know, is that going to happen? Is that going to rid all the bad and rid all the evil and change the climate and, you know, provide clean water? No. But that's my peace of mind. I, you know, to me, there's a bunch of stuff I don't think I can do anything about today. But what I can do today, what I did yesterday and what I'll do tomorrow is continue to grow and continue to work on me. So done with that stuff, and why I shared it is that's how I, you know, tell clients and people that talk to me about getting through, you know, because if you're not bumming out, you might have a sense that, well, I don't care. And if I'm not posting it and, you know, going, look, this is bad and this is horrible and I'm not flaming that fire, then, well, what am I doing? And I'm like, well, that's kind of the point. Some people, you know, they feel like that's like their responsibility. If there's bad in the world, you should feel bad. But that was my parents. When my older sister Tammy passed away, I could just tell they were like, how can we ever smile? If, you know, our daughter died, like, whoa, let's go have fun. Like, how can we? And I just knew that right away. And I also knew right away that I couldn't do that. I was bad enough. I was struggling enough. If I'm like, okay, now I can't enjoy life because my sister's gone, I wasn't really enjoying it a whole lot anyways, and I couldn't put that weight on me. I just knew it, so I went to, I get to have bad days, I get to fall down, I get to make mistakes, I get to be afraid, I get to be lost. Tammy doesn't get to. So that's something that I personally, you know, 10 years ago, made that choice, consciously, going, look, I got to get through this, you know, I'm here. You know, I can't make it harder on me. I can't do worse than I'm doing now. That's just not an option at this point. So, you know, I started growing. I started working on me. Those are the choices that I started making. And it wasn't like I sat there going, wow, Tom, you're worth it. There's good waiting. Keep doing this. You know, it was just, you know, kind of, I think, deep, kind of on a gut level. I got to move forward and I know what I can't handle. I know what I'm, you know, kind of felt like I'm not strong enough to handle that much anguish. Okay, don't have any bad days because, you know, this event happened and carry that weight like that. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to last. There's just no way. So what am I doing about Ukraine? I'm making me the best me. What am I doing about the water problem? I'm making me the best me. What am I doing about climate? I'm making me the best me. What am I doing about mass shootings, gun control? Roe versus Wade, I'm making me the best me. That's what I'm doing. And I heard this, and I'm going to end with this. Two guys talking, and we use Elon Musk. And the one guy says to him, you know, Elon Musk has more than anybody. He has more than anybody has. you know, we'll never have as much as he does. And his friend looks at him and goes, yeah, I got one thing that Elon Musk will never have. And his friend looks at him and says, what? He goes, yeah, I, your friend, I have one thing that Elon Musk or someone like him will never have. And his friend looked at him and he said, what? And he said, enough. Elon Musk, those type of people will never have enough. I do. That's why I'm consistently thankful. Remember that you are worth it. Stoked that you're here, because you had to get here. You had to make a choice to be here. That's why I'm stoked, because if you're listening, you're here. And if you're here, you did it. Little things done consistently. Let's begin this special moment by controlling that which we can. If we're seated, legs folded if you can, eyes closed, shoulders over your hips, neutral neck, navel tucked into the spine. We'll draw the inhale through the nose. We'll slow it down, become aware of it, elongate it. Then we'll allow the exhale out the mouth and do the same with it. Elongate it, slow it down, become aware of it. That's going to take focus and concentration. But that focus and concentration of your mind on something that you typically don't think about is what's going to make you present, because it's going to take a little bit of work. And that work is what's going to consume the space between your ears. And that's where we want to stay. Nothing else will enter. If it does, kindly, calmly, ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo. Well done. There's a quote I heard, and it said, it's just about doing small things every day, but realizing doing those small things every day is no small thing. That's how I think about the pro-you moment. Just a little moment. But if you do it consistently and it serves you, you benefit from it, you'll continue. And so it goes. And so it is. I don't think anything I've ever shared on the podcast is like mind-blowing, groundbreaking. 99% of it someone else probably said, thought, shared. The challenge, the difficult thing, is the application. Someone once said, have a slow recovery. I wish you a slow recovery. Why? Well, that's what it's going to be. You don't heal quick. Trauma does not exit quick. Personal growth is not quick. It will be slow. But you can be thankful on that entire journey. That you got to be on that journey. And that's what I'm thankful for. I don't really wish it would have happened sooner, because it's not an option. It's the reality, you know. Embracing the reality is what makes life simple. You get out of the way, you embrace that reality, and you move forward. That can be simple. Peace and God bless.